The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King, Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
Part of, we've come to church and we've rushed into the parking lot and we've rushed through the doors and we're trying to rush through some certain things to get to a certain point. But Lord, we just need to pause for just a moment. For Lord, somebody's disquieted spirit needs to be quieted right now. And somebody's spirit that is barely on life support needs to be quickened right now in the name of Jesus. Father God, we need to clear a pathway for the word to come forth. So even now, Lord, clear the pathway of our minds. Clear the pathway of our hearts. Search us right now, and if there's anything that's in us that should not be, take it out. There is still healing power in the blood. There is still cleansing power in the blood. Will you heal right now? Will you cleanse right now? Lord, we say it all the time, but Lord, if we ever needed to hear a word from you, surely we need a word right now. So many words are being spoken in the news. People are getting caught up in foolishness. People are saying foolish things and it's costing them their jobs. It's costing them their reputation. And people are saying foolish things. And even we sometimes, we fall down. But Lord, we thank you for the power. The same spirit, the same power that raised up a dead Jesus is the power that is in us to get us to get back up again. Lord, we love you today. We extol you. We magnify your name. Lord, I'm just asking that you would fill me with your power right now. Forgive us, Lord, for our sins, our weaknesses, our shortcomings, mistakes that we've made, wrongs that we've done. Lord, we've done some stuff you told us not to do, left some stuff undone that you told us to do. Thank you for grace. Thank you for mercy. Lord, this is our prayer, and it is truly in Jesus' name and for Christ that we pray. Let every heart say amen. As the musicians continue to play, we're gonna have the word. I'm just asking that somebody, you would just get into the right spirit right now. See, what you call a bad mood is a bad spirit. It's a bad spirit. You need to shake that off of you right now. If you're physically able to stand, we're going to ask that you would do so. Ushers, if there's anybody out in the vestibule, you can let them in. Thank you. Glory, glory. Glory, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 12, verses 1 through 5. Isaiah chapter 12, verses 1 through 5. It's up on your screen. You're welcome to turn to it in your Bibles. Recognize that every now and then I choose different translations, but please understand I'm in the Word of God. I do a lot of studying from the King James, New King James, Newly Revised Standard. Of course, those help me with my word study and they help me with my Strong's Concordance, but there are number of translations that can help us with our interpretation. So this morning I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. Starting with the first verse, it says, "In that day you will sing, I will praise you, O Lord. You are angry with me, but not anymore. Now you comfort me. See, God has come to save me. I will trust in him and not be afraid. The Lord God is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. With joy, you will drink deep. deeply from the fountain of salvation. In that wonderful day, you will sing, thank the Lord, praise his name, tell the nations what he has done. Let them know how mighty he is. Sing to the Lord, for he has done wonderful things. Make known his praise around the world. That speaks volumes to us right now. That's all we've been trying to do all morning. And that's all we need to be doing all week long, every day of our lives. However, I want to reread verse 3. It says, with joy, you will drink deeply from the fountain of salvation. For just a little while, I want to consider the subject, parched people dig deep. Parched people dig deep. You may be seated in the presence of our God. Parched people dig deep. Now, if you're taking notes, I need you to write this down, for there is a prepositional statement that I want to make to you, and that is, when you are in a spiritual desert, teach Holy Ghost, when you are in a spiritual desert, you dig deep by deciding to discover the grace of God. I said that when you are in a spiritual desert, you dig deep by deciding to discover the grace of God. Now, I'm going to fix that spiritual desert in just a moment. But first of all, let me say this about the book of Isaiah. For the book of Isaiah is not an easy book. As a matter of fact, the book of Isaiah is heavily prophetic and points forward to the coming of the Messiah and the kingdom of Christ. Isaiah chapter 9 foretells the coming of Christ. Isaiah 53 foretells the atoning work of Christ. And then here in Isaiah chapter 12, it foretells the joy and thanksgiving of Christ's kingdom. So watch this, Deacon McFarland, you'll appreciate this. Watch this. So to keep this in context, when we read Isaiah chapter 12, our understanding of this text is something of what will be, but is not yet. God Almighty, you got to keep it in the context. Remember here, we're talking about the joy of the Lord, the joy of our salvation. So in order to understand this text, and remember, the Bible was not written to us. It was written for us. Come on, somebody. Y'all didn't catch that. It's written for us. So Isaiah is talking to the children of Israel. He's talking about things that are to come. And so for us, however, as devoted followers of Christ, we recognize that the Messiah has already come. Can I get an amen from somebody? I mean, you got to believe that the Messiah has already come. As the followers of Christ, we are products of his atoning work. Amen. And as a result, we know that he has already come. We know that he has already ascended back into heaven. And even as he ascended, the Holy Spirit descended. And so now we await his second coming. Thus, we are now presently living into what will be. Amen. The key verse in this passage again is verse 3. It says, with joy, you will drink deeply from the fountain of salvation. New King James Version, NIV, I believe, say it the same way. It says, therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Amen. Literally, when people are thirsty, I'm talking in desert lands, I'm talking in desolate places, I'm talking a little different than you drinking your Perrier water. Come on, somebody. something a little different than, you know, we drink Evian. There's some folk who say, I don't drink tap water. I only drink bottled water. But when you've been in a place, come on somebody, where there was no water, when you had maybe have had to walk some lands, when you had to go some miles just to get a little drop of water. Some of y'all grew up on a place where you had wells, where you had to draw, come on somebody, the water for you to drink. It's water then becomes something you got to go get. And in other words, in order for that tap to come on, somebody had to dig deep. Amen. Amen. So when people are thirsty, they dig deep to reach water. Figuratively, when we find ourselves in a spiritual desert, teach Holy Ghost, we find that we sometimes have to dig deep in order to experience the grace of God in the midst of some trying circumstances. And our text today, when we dig deep in times of spiritual drought, the goodness of God expressed and the goodness of God that's experienced can come about in several ways. There are a number of things that if I talk to each and every one of you and I ask you what you have going on in your life, we would probably could sit down and maybe talk for hours. And your story may not match the story of the person sitting next to you, but we all have a story. We all got some stuff that we're dealing with. Everybody got situations. Everybody got stress and drama. Come on, somebody. But there's a couple I want to talk about that's going to envelop a number of things that some folk are dealing with in their lives in and outside of the church. But understand, Isaiah was talking to the children of Israel. So I need to talk to the saved and who say they've been converted. Amen. Number one is, listen to this. One of the things that we need to understand is what can be a spiritual desert. The spiritual desert that any of us from the pulpit to the door can experience in our lives is guilt. Guilt can be a kind of spiritual desert. But when you are in the spiritual desert of guilt, and in other words, you now need to dig a little deeper just to understand and find the grace of God. When we dig deep, we find grace is greater than our guilt. Teach up in here. Grace is greater than our guilt. Verse 1 says, in that day you will sing, I will praise you, O Lord. You were angry with me, but not anymore. Now you comfort me. Watch this. Watch this. You got to see this here. Keep it in context. What's going on here? The tension in this verse is between human guilt and God's grace. The tension in this text is between our sinfulness and God's forgiving grace. You see, when we first come to Christ, we began our new members classes, if you will, and we learned that sin, whether in thought, word, or deed, is anything that is contrary to the will of God. Amen, amen, amen. And according to James chapter 4, verse 17, the New Living Translation, thank you, sir, it says, remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do, then not do it. I'm in the Word of God. Again, James chapter 4, verse 17, the New Living Translation says, remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do, then not do it. Let me get traditional and just go King James Version. It says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. But then in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. So now we're dealing with sin. Then we got to deal with, so what comes as a result of sin? And Romans 6 and 23 says, again in the New Living Translation, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. My brothers and my sisters, guilt is what results from sin. And when we have a guilty conscience, we know that we've done something wrong, especially if it's something that we've done that we know isn't right. I need some honest Christians to talk to me up in here. But God's grace, on the other hand, extends undeserved mercy and undeserved forgiveness. I don't know about you, but I'm not here because I've done everything right. I'm by far way less than perfect. Amen. I haven't dotted all my I's, nor have I crossed all my T's, but I stand before you on this Sunday morning because I'm here as a product of God's undeserved mercy, favor, and forgiveness. Everybody in here should say amen. It didn't take any more grace to wake up your neighbor than it did you. God didn't have to extend any more forgiveness on your neighbor than he did you. No. We're not here because we're so good. Folk who aren't here because they are so bad. But all of us got some bad circumstances that we're dealing with. And guilt is eating us up. An x-ray is a common imaging test that can help your doctor view the inside of your body without having to make an incision. What an x-ray can do, Brother Brad, is help them diagnose or monitor or treat any medical condition. So many of us have probably had x-rays at some point in our lives, and so your doctor may order an x-ray, watch this, to examine an area where you're experiencing some pain or discomfort. Doctor may order an x-ray to monitor the progression of a diagnosed disease. Or your doctor may order an x-ray to check out how well a prescribed treatment is working. Going somewhere, and here it is. If we were to x-ray our souls, so to speak, teach Holy Ghost, come on up in here. God Almighty, if we were to x-ray our souls, what kinds of things might show up that we have broken and or buried in our lives? Areas where you are feeling some pain or some discomfort. Some areas where you feel sick and diseased. Talking to somebody here, you got regrets over a broken relationship. Talking to somebody here who has remorse over a really bad choice or decision. Talking to somebody here who's suffering through embarrassment about a marriage that didn't last. Talking to somebody here, you don't need to raise your hand. The Holy Ghost knows who we are. Talking to somebody who succumbed to seemingly irresistible temptations or addictions. Maybe a time when you spoke something harmful or some hurtful words. That kind of stuff can fester beneath the surface of a person who is living in a spiritual desert of guilt. There's a story of a little boy who killed his grandmother's pet duck. Sister Joy, he accidentally hit the duck with a rock from a slingshot. The little boy didn't think that anybody saw the deed. So he buried the duck in the backyard, and he didn't tell a soul. But later, the boy found out that his sister Keeling has seen everything. So now she had leverage of his secret. God Almighty, teach up in here, Holy Ghost. And she used it. So whenever, good God Almighty, that's why folk come ducking and hiding in church. They hoping folk don't know all their secrets. That's why some folk come all dressed up and messed up, because they hoping folk don't know our secrets. But the story said she knew. So whenever it was the sister's turn to wash the dishes or take out the trash or wash the car, she would whisper into her brother's ear, "Remember the duck." Then the little boy would do whatever his sister should have done. But thank God. I don't know how many of you have been there, but there always has to be a limit, teach Holy Ghost, to that sort of thing. Finally, that little boy had it. And he went to his grandmother with great fear and confessed what he had done. But to his surprise, Deacon Griffith, to his surprise, his grandmother hugged him and she thanked him. She said, "I was standing at the kitchen sink, and I saw the whole thing. I forgave you then. I was just wondering when you were going to get tired of your sister's blackmail and come to me." Anybody in here being blackmailed? Come on, somebody. God Almighty. It's a beautiful picture, however, of our God who sees all. Even that stuff done in supposed secret. It's a beautiful story of our God who sees all. The fact is, he lets you live anyway. Come on, somebody, give God a hand clap of praise. He sees all. And he forgives us. But here's the point of the story. He waits for us to come and receive forgiveness. That's why I struggle sometimes when folk are struggling and they leave the church and they say, quote unquote, "When I get myself together, I'll come back." The other problem is they're too, they feel like that whatever they've done, too many folk are going to know about the deed. So every time somebody looks at them, they're wondering if they're examining them like they are an x-ray machine. So folk would rather stay out than to be found out. Amen. But we forget what the scriptures say. This is a hospital. We're not here because we're well. We're here because we're sick and need of healing. The church, I love when folk can get happy and get all excited in church, but if you don't get no help, hope, or healing, then what in the world are we coming here for? Hype can't help you when you are struggling. We forget the scriptures. The Bible says in Romans 6, Romans 3 and 23, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But when you are in your desert, Sister Graham, we forget sometimes what the Bible says. And one thing that the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verses 9 and 10 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not some, not a portion, not three quarters, not nine tenths, but all unrighteousness. Verse 10 says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, And this word isn't in us. Here's the problem. Here's the problem. Here's the problem. If you are living in a spiritual desert of guilt, you need to remember what the word says and not the words that are being said about you. Somebody about to get set free up in here. Don't continue to remain in denial about what you are dealing with or feeling in your spirit. Too many folk are trying to fool folk. And you are, in essence, making God out to be a liar, trying to run away from some lies folk are saying about you. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You may even have a sister, brother, family member, or friend that wants to hold that duck over your head. But you never need to remember that God does not hold stuff over your head. Somebody say hallelujah up in this house. And we need to learn to live into grace instead of guilt. Somebody here up under the grip of guilt needs to be loosed right now. And I'm praying that God right now will loose down here on earth what he has already loosed in heaven. That he will free you from right down here on earth from what he has freed you from when he saved your soul. The Bible says, whom the Son sets. I need some Bible readers in here. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Free yourself from your past. Free yourself from some stuff that you keep tripping up over. Free yourself from some stuff that keeps tipping at you and reminding you, remember the duck. Because you've been set free indeed. But here's another one I need to deal with in the church. Guilt is a spiritual desert, but weakness can be another kind of spiritual desert. When you are weak, you got to dig deep. And when you're weak, and when we dig deep, we'll find strength greater than our weakness. Somebody right now, you barely made it to church. And not all of it is because you are physically tired. Some of it is just emotionally, mentally, spiritually drained. Verse 2 says, see, God has come to save me. I will trust in him and not be afraid. The Lord God is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. That's personal. See, sometimes I know we can pray for folk and we can pray with folk, but make sure that you are prayed up yourself and make sure you understand from where your help comes from and make sure you are strong enough even to be able to help somebody else. Weakness can literally be, watch this, can be a weakness as in having no strength, but a weakness can be a fault or just having a chink in your armor. But weakness can also be an area of susceptibility. So we get a lot of folk in the church who want to come across as bigger than what they really are. That's why we got to make sure we don't come across as the big bad Christian. Like we don't have any faults or weaknesses and acting like we don't need to be prayed for. No, weakness can be either having no strength, can be an area of a fault or a chink in your armor. But it can also be an area of susceptibility. But I need to talk to somebody in here. Because living in a perpetual state of weakness, whatever it is, we joke sometimes, but I hear people talk about that text or that phone call or whatever it is, whatever that email or whatever the case may be or whatever it is that's calling you. Listen, on Monday nights, y'all need to come check us out on Monday nights for Bible study. We just get loose up in there. And every now and then, when I need a reference, so I bring it to y'all right now. When I need a reference of somebody that was strong and he thought he had it together and he wanted to test his own will and he allowed somebody else to test his will, I got to go back to one of my favorite movies, New Jack City, and my man Pookie. That thing is real. But for some of y'all who didn't see New Jack City, it's really all right. You can Google it or you look it up on YouTube. Just make sure the kids ain't around. But in that scene, Pookie was addicted to crack cocaine. And it was a strong addiction. And let me just say this to somebody. If you have yet to have to suffer through that kind of addiction, I don't care. Listen, I don't care if it's chocolate cake or crack cocaine, two wheels or four wheels or two heels. There's an addiction. And you need to be freed up from that thing. But Pookie, he went through a phase of trying to be cleansed. All right, and he thought he was strong. He allowed some people to put him back in the very position where he was tempted and he was susceptible. So they put him in a room full of crack cocaine. Here's what else I want to show you about that scene. I mean, I think Darren, he took the baby out. I think the kids are downstairs. Amen. One of the things about that scene is this. Pookie was in a room full of undressed women. But that wasn't his addiction. It was crack cocaine. Let me tell you why that means something. Because what might trip you up may not trip her up or trip him up. So quit tripping on what's tripping folk up. Because that ain't tripping you up. And so we get hard on some folk who are saying, you fell to that? You'll continue to do this? You continue to let that pull on you? Because that ain't your addiction. But everybody's got an Achilles heel. So Pookie was in the room. His addiction was crack cocaine. And he kept trying to be strong and he kept trying to talk to himself. But at some point, one of the famous lines was he said, "It keeps calling me. It keeps calling me." Some of them phone calls, some of that stuff is more than a phone call. That's just some spirits that are calling. Eventually, he tried to dance around that thing, and eventually he gave in. And he went back to the very state that he thought he was strong enough to be from. Here's what I'm saying. Whatever it is, don't test your will beyond your own strength. And be careful presuming on the grace of God. He will forgive us our sins, but remember, we got to make choices and decisions on our own. And so if you are living in a state of weakness, whatever that is, that can be emotionally and spiritually debilitating and draining. Sometimes, and that's why I celebrate with some folk who say, I've been this many days, this many weeks, this many months clean. Because it's a day by day. And the devil doesn't care how long you've been living goody-two-shoe. He only needs one good time. He only needs one day to ruin everything you've been trying to do. But living in a state of weakness can be emotionally and spiritually draining. But strength, on the other hand, is power. And it can overcome weakness. Many of us had to do some stuff that we never thought we would ever have to do. I don't care if it's caregiving, I don't care if it's going through a sustained period without a job. I don't care if it's dealing with a circumstance that you never thought that you would have to deal with. Some of us have had to endure some stuff. We never thought we would have to endure the death of a loved one. Suffer through some stuff we thought we would never have to suffer through, and it has caused a perpetual state of weakness. And it's become, for somebody, I'm talking to you, I don't know what it is, but it has been draining you and sapping all of your energy and your strength. But then the fact that you're even here today, you look back on what you've come through and you can think, wow, God gave me just enough grace and strength to do all of that. But if it took that to get me here, then that was worth it. If you can stand on the grace and mercy and the strength and power of God. Because God every now and then will allow some stuff for us to go through, for even us to see that it has nothing to do with us, but it's everything about him. That's when we get to the point of knowing about our human weakness and God's strength. When we get to texts like 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 10, Paul says in the New Living Translation, he says, three times I beg the Lord to take it away. Verse 9 said, but each time he said, that being God said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. But then, as a result of what God said in verse 9 of 2 Corinthians 12, Paul then says in the next verse, he says, so now I'm glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure, my God, in my weakness and in the insults, New Living Translation, the hardships, the persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I'm weak, then am I strong. If you have ever been in dire need, then you know what it is to feel the despairing desert of wantonness. And yet, when we dig deep into the goodness, the kindness, the grace, and mercy of God, we find a newfound and God-given sense of gratitude. And that's why every now and then you ought not have to have anybody to tell you, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. You need to praise God that you're still breathing. We need to start praising God for some stuff he didn't have to do. God didn't have to wake us up. We're not that good. We didn't have that much to do. We're not that important that God said, I got to wake King up because he got to preach. No, God said the Holy Spirit will teach. All I need is a vessel. We don't get to go, but sometimes I say I gotta go because I have to go to give God the praise, honor, and glory because he didn't have to wake me up. That's why when you get to the rest of our passage here in Isaiah 12, starting at the third verse, it says, with joy you will drink deeply from the fountain of salvation, and in that wonderful day you will sing. Thank the Lord, praise his name, tell the nations what he has done. Let them know how mighty he is. Sing to the Lord, for he has done some wonderful things. Make known his praise around the world. It's a tough message. It's a message that I had to wrestle with myself. Because we all got to get to a point to where you more than just feel like going on. Because this is different than your feelings and your emotions. We got to get beyond to where we sing songs like I feel like praising him, whether you feel like it or not. Come on, somebody. God is worthy of our praise. And we got to get beyond our emotions and all that little fragile feelings. get to the crux of the word. So as I get ready to close, I've simply stopped by this day to remind us that while we readily admit that we thirst physically, we need to know and remember that we also thirst spiritually. And the Holy Spirit, through the word and this message, is encouraging each and every one of us, from the pulpit to the door, to come back and draw from the water and the wells of our salvation. For some of us, we say we've been saved all our lives. Well, we need to go back to that point in our life when we first got saved and remember the joy of the Lord. Because we need to do whatever it is that we need to do for God, not just on Sunday morning, not just in Bible study, not just in special services like Christmas, Mother's Day, or Easter. Come on, somebody. But to constantly search the scriptures each and every day. For as we search the scriptures daily, we become thankful, knowing that God is in the midst. Yes, sometimes we want to know, where is God when this, that, or the other? And God has says, I never moved. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. God said, I've been in the midst of your life since before you were even born. Because before you were even in your mother's womb, I knew you. So even when we are in a spiritual desert, no, we don't see God like the children of Israel did, like they did, a pillar of smoke or a cloud by day and fire by night. But we must be able to see the blessings of God in our everyday lives. And that if it had not been for the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for us, if it had not been for the Lord on our side, we won't know where we would be. Colossians chapter 3, 16 and 17, again in the New Living Translation, says this: let the message about Christ in all its richness fill our lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom that he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to him through him to God the Father. How we've been doing this week as a representation of Christ? When we honestly look at our lives, even amid any guilt or weakness, we realize that there's still a whole lot for us to be thankful for. There are a whole lot of reasons why we should sing. And not just any song, but hymns and songs of praise and thankfulness in our hearts. So in the course of your days going forward, I want you to decide whether you're going to continue to live in the desert or whether or not you're going to live in the oasis of God's goodness, his kindness, his grace, his mercy. Because guess what? You choose and you decide. We must decide to live into God's grace, because we need to understand that his grace and forgiveness is bigger than our guilt. God's strength is bigger than our weakness. And God's sufficiency is greater than any need that we have. And even for somebody, you need to know that God's joy is greater than your sadness. I want you to stand to your feet right now. There's a prayer I've asked for them to put up on the screen. similar to when we do the church covenant. This becomes a proverbial covenant, but it's a prayer. I want you to be able to try to see it from where you are. And I want us to read it together, all together. Lord, we are grateful. Y'all need to read with me. Y'all said we can't read with. Lord, we are grateful that we have been called out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the light and the life of Christ. We know that what it is to be is not yet, and so we live with hope. We live into what will be. We live into our new life in Christ. We live into the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us. We live into the heartfelt gratitude for how you meet all our needs. And we live into the joy of our salvation. We pray today, O Lord, that you will be especially present and powerful in the lives of those among us today who struggle with guilt, who feel powerless in the face of the pressures of life, who have desperate needs, and those who are blanketed in sadness. May you surround them with your love and powerfully intercede in their circumstances. This we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Parched people, dig deep. The doors of the church are open.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message.